Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Elena. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So excited to have you here. So tell us about yourself.
So I'm Elena Armas. I'm originally from Spain, but I've been living abroad for quite a few years, a lot of years, actually, a long time. And yeah, so originally I'm an engineer, but let's say now I'm an engineer turned author, romance author.
So what was your journey? What made you decide to write a romance novel, you know?
So funny enough, nothing really made me want to write like a romance novel. It came out of, I had like an idea for a book, and I've always loved reading, especially romance. I was such an avid reader, and I had this idea for The Spanish Love Deception. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a book like that? Especially with like the Spanish main character and the Spanish setting and everything. And then I thought, okay, so why don't I write it myself? And it was kind of very organic and natural and not well thought at all.
I love this. And so let's chat about The Spanish Love Deception for those who may not have read it, which are few and far between, but we never know. So we might have new discover people because it's a big book talk sensation. So talk to us about what is The Spanish Love Deception all about.
Okay, so The Spanish Love Deception follows Catalina, or Lina, who's a Spanish woman, an engineer that works in a consulting firm in New York City. Mm-hmm. And she has an upcoming wedding, her sister's wedding, doesn't have a date for that wedding. And she kind of needs a date for that wedding because her ex is going to be there. And she might have lied to her family about having an American boyfriend that she was going to bring to the wedding. So she's kind of, you know, in a pickle. And one of her colleagues, Aaron Blackford, who is the hero of our story, overhears the conversation between Lina and her best friend Rosie, and he offers himself to be her date. And yeah, so let's say Catalina and Aaron don't have the best relationship, and Catalina is very, very set on hating Aaron. And yeah, at first she's not on board with the idea of bringing her work nemesis to Spain to meet her family, but then things happen and Aaron and Lina end up going to Spain. And yeah.
And love happens, or.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't want to spoil anything, but I guess it's the whole point, right?
You know, it's a happily ever after. It's a romance. Yeah. So there's a happily ever after, you know?
Yeah. So spoiler alert, they fall in love.
Yeah. It's like, it's a journey that we go through. We pick romance. So the journey, especially when fake dating happens, you're like, we don't have any feelings for each other. We hate each other. And you're like,
sure.
I know better. There's a chemistry here.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah,
you may catch some real feelings here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
And your job as an author is to put them through the journey.
Yeah, and hopefully make everyone, you know, a little sweaty and a lot emotional.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope I accomplish that with every book. Let's see.
Yeah. It's just an emotional journey. It's like just going through and be like, hey, how's it, you know, how to get them connected and be like, well, we're going to make you fall apart and come back together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And in my case, I'm such a, I mean, I, as a reader, I was such, and I still am, such a huge fan of slow burns. And I find that writing them gives me a high and knowing that people suffer, you know, reading them, like suffer, deliciously suffer, like delicious suffering.
Yeah.
I happen to enjoy that a lot. So yeah. So yeah. whoever hasn't read The Spanish Love of Suffering yet, just know it's a slow burn. So be ready.
Yeah. You make us suffer for a while.
I'm happy.
But it's such a good suffering. So.
Good, good.
I love this. So let's chat about what happened to The Spanish Love of Suffering. Because if you slowly took it out, you slowly debuted it in February and then somehow
let's say that 2021 was a crazy year for everybody, and for me it was such an incredible journey. I was very lucky that my 2021 experience was only positive. And I mean, I'm very fortunate, I'm very lucky, and going through what I went through like last year, it was, as you said, crazy, because I self-published that book with really no expectations whatsoever. I never thought that this would happen, like not at all. And a lot of people say, but come on, you must have, you know, have some great expectations or some dreams. Sure. But I never thought that it would blow up the way it did. When I hit that button, you know, in February with Amazon, I was like, okay, publish, there you go, now that's it, I have a book out, but whatever. And then in August I was being contacted by like publishing houses, and every like the hashtag on TikTok was crazy. Everybody seemed, not everybody, but a lot of people seemed to fall in love with my characters. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I'm still processing everything that has happened to this day. And I think I'm going to need another 5 years to, you know, to understand what went on.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it was the perfect storm, because book talkers were following Kindle Unlimited. They were looking for something, and they were already going through 2015, 2016, 2017 titles. And then comes this 2021 title that was like reminiscent of other titles they have heard, they were slowed, and they're like, and it's in KU, and they're like, oh my gosh. And you know, it goes viral. Like, that's the beauty of book talk. It's like one person, another person, and just like it becomes a trend, and then it grows and they buy the books. Like, that's the difference between Instagram and book talk. It's like people buy the book, you know?
There's been I feel the same there. Like, there's been this huge impact that a social network like TikTok has had on the book industry, that I feel like maybe no other social media has had that big of an impact. Like, I was, and I still am, a bookstagrammer, and I love Instagram, and the work that, you know, all bookstagrammers do there is on the other side. I've been on the other side, and Instagram, you know, has my respect forever. And they helped me a lot when I've published, because most of the bloggers that I contacted were there, and also like book Twitter and bloggers that write their blogs still, like it's done for the book industry. But TikTok this year, what they did was, I think it took everyone by surprise, because it's true that they have put so many books on the top 10 and New York Times bestselling lists. And it's kind of crazy. And I'm obviously, I mean, I'm one of the cases that, you know, they took one book and they kind of made it theirs. And I'm very happy and grateful for that. But yeah, it was such a shock.
Yeah, I can imagine. I love hearing about these stories, because it's like, it's such a timely trend from 2020, 2021. All these authors are getting discovered, quote unquote discovered, but they've been like writing, or they've been publishing different things. And it's like books that you were backlisted or new listed, front list, or like, you know, they're hidden gems. They're like getting like the attention they deserve. So this is very exciting. So, all right. So our listeners are probably going to ask, is there a follow-up book? And I know there is, so tell us all about it.
Okay, so the next book that I will be publishing is The American Roommate Experiment, and it follows Rosie, who's Lena's best friend in New York, and also Lucas, who's Lena's older cousin from mm-hmm. Spain. Mm-hmm. And so we get to know Rosie in The Spanish Love Deception, and I received a ton of messages saying, oh my God, I love Rosie. She deserves her happily ever after. And I agreed. The moment that I finished writing The Spanish Love Deception, I was like, I need to give a happy ending to my girl, Rosie. And that's what I did. And so she mentions very shortly Lena's cousin during The Spanish Love Deception. So we explore that. Rosie's infatuation with Lucas, and when he kind of shows up in New York and they are forced to share an apartment, and lots of forced proximity and lots of time spending together, and there's some dating deal of sorts that might have to do with the word experiment. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this book is much, I mean, it's kind of different from The Spanish Love Deception in the way that it's a little bit more emotional mm-hmm. than The Spanish Love Deception. The Spanish Love Deception was kind of like fun, a little silly. And this one is more emotional without being very angsty, but I feel like when I was writing it, I kind of connected with the characters in a different way than I did with Aaron and Lena. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not gonna say anything else. If you guys are interested, you can pre-order. It comes out in September.
Yep. We just got a few more months to get it.
Yeah, just a few more months. And yeah, if anyone loves roommates and dating deals and yeah. you know, lots of forest proximity, then this is for you.
Yeah. I love this. So what has sparked joy over the past couple of years? I know like the big explosions probably has sparked joy, but you know, is there anything else that has been a good light in the middle of this like weird time that we're living? Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, and I don't want to sound redundant, but yeah. finding this, like finding the joy that I found when I'm writing mm-hmm. and the fact that that I can do this for a living now yeah. for me, that has been, I mean, it has been such a, you know, like a limelight, like a beam of bright light
yeah
in my life. And yeah, like I was able to leave my job as an engineer and do this full time, and that was something that I've always dreamed with mm-hmm. like in a very abstract way, but I never yeah. thought would be possible. And the fact that that's actually what I'm doing right now is just, every time I think about it, just brings me, you know, like deep happiness that I don't even know how to process.
Yes, I love this. Oh my gosh, yes. And so let's have some book recommendations, because you've been a bookstagrammer, so you're a reader. Mm-hmm. Is there any books that you recommend our listeners to pick up, you know, okay. to tide us over between now and September?
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind, because we're coming from Christmas. So the first one that comes to mind is Window Shopping by Tessa Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like Tessa Bailey, I don't know if you're listening, like please turn off the podcast, because this is going to get like fangirl land, you know, yeah. but I love her. I love her writing. I love her, all her books. Like there's no book that she puts out that I don't love, but this one, Window Shopping, was such a good Christmas romance. Mm-hmm. And her heroes, I love all her heroes, but they're always kind of grumpy, kind of, you know, kind of like rough. But this one, the one in Window Shopping, Aiden, and I think I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but Aiden, he's like a sunshine,
yeah,
you know, like a sunshine hero. Well, he's sunshine in the streets, but kind of alpha in the sheets, you know, between the sheets.
Yep, that's a Tessa. That's a Tessa.
Yeah. Like a good Tessa Bailey hero. So yeah, I don't know. I fell in love with that. I think it's going to become my Christmas tradition. I'm just going to reread that every year because I truly loved it. And if anyone wants to read a Christmas book, even if we are January, February or June, I don't know, go for this one because it's great. Yeah. And then another recommendation, which is my current read, is Love on the Brain by Ellie Hazelwood. Is her second book, the one that is, well, it's not going to be her second book, I think, because she's like publishing some short novellas in 2022, but this one will come out like in August, and oh my gosh, is nerdy in the best way possible, is hilarious, it's fun, is like super out there with like jokes, the humor is just so, it's so cool, man, and it's so sweet, and the hero Levi is a sweetheart, and he's like, he has this kind of not hard but grumpy exterior, but then he's like a cinnamon roll on the inside, and I think everyone is gonna fall head over heels for him. So guys, just put out your calendars, look for the release dates in August. I don't remember the date.
I think it's August 23rd or August 20 something. It's in August. But just pre-order it, you know.
Just, you know, better safe than sorry, guys. Just go get it. And I haven't been reading so much lately. Those are like my two highlights. Yeah. And then books that I'm excited to read in 2022, obviously Book Lovers by Emily Henry, which I just received an early copy, like a proof copy, and I'm dying to dig in, like everyone else in the world, I guess.
Yeah, those are good recommendations. You kept us posted for books that we can actually look for, you know, this year. And then Tessa Bailey, just look at her backlist. Like, you know, like there's something for everyone. Tessa writes paranormal. She writes sweet romance with alpha in the sheets, you know.
She's an autobi author for me. She's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us where you can find you online.
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram, which I'm the most active there. I am the Bibliotech. That's how it's pronounced. Yeah. I've been told like Bibliotech and lots of things. So I'm at the Bibliotech on Instagram. Then you can find me on my website, author Elena Armas, I think, .com. And there you can link to every social media profile. On TikTok, I'm also the Bibliotech, and I think on Twitter I'm Elena Armas Books. That's pretty much it. I think I don't have any other social media, right?
Awesome. Thank you, Elena, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. Lots of fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibroFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibroFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.